Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, how's it going tonight, everybody? I'm your man in the studio, Patrick Henry, and with me tonight is my brother. My co-host Spags is not in studio. That's right. We just experienced Snowpocalypse 2025. My man Kyle is not in the house tonight. Say hi, Kyle. Oh, see, Kyle's muted.
What's up, folks? I'm on mute. Yeah.
He's at home. This is Kyle's studio. And then with us at home in his studio is my brother Spags. Spags,
there he is. What's up, everybody? Welcome to January 6th, Snowmageddon style.
Insurrection Day Live. And so we actually have some nice guests this week. I think we've had a nice little panel on tonight, I think. Going into this week, we had, what did we have, 16 inches of snow up here, guys?
Yeah, between 12 and 18, depending on where you were at.
Yeah, we're still snowed in, guys. So I don't know if you can't tell, but Kyle's at home, Spags is at home. I'm in the studio because Snowpocalypse 2025. So we've got some pimps in the studio just waiting to come on. But before we bring them in, I wanted to see if we could get a little house cleaning. Spags, is there anything in particular we wanted to talk about tonight? We got any little Easter eggs we want to drop, or do we want to save those for later? You got any sponsors you want to drop?
We are going to have some tips and tricks for the 2025 Spring Festival coming up. So you're going to learn something about that tonight.
Okay.
You're going to learn some things about our guests that you might not have known otherwise. You're going to learn why you should hate the government even more. And other than that, I am not going to give away any secrets.
Okay. All right. So without further ado, I think maybe we should bring in our first guest, Bobby.
All right. Kyle, bring in Mr. Pimpcast himself.
Yes, sir. There he is.
Whoa. Wow, yeah.
Look at that.
The naked ninja.
Hey. Are you wearing those headphones for Christine?
Hey. Hey, bro, it's bad enough. Hey, Michelle, if you just happen to be listening, then can you bring up my BCGs up here? I'm in this studio, bro, and it's as hot as the blazes up in here. So it only made sense. I was in here taking off my sweatshirts because I was out, looking after the animals. But I was like, okay, man, why not? Who says you can't do a podcast naked?
We're doing it.
If it's going to be called the Pimpcast, you've got to come on strong.
Got to elevate that pimp hand and unleash.
I feel a little overdressed for Insurrection Day. I'm going to have to I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah, well, if you wind up like the rest of those people in those J6 prisons, I promise you, Patrick, I promise you, Bobby, and I promise you, Kyle, I'll be the first one to slip you boys a foot long with a hacksaw blade inside of it.
All right.
You know where that was going. It's a 1980s cartoon.
Yes, it's a kink. Thank you. We appreciate that.
But that's not all, folks. Not only do we have the Permaculture Pimpcast in, Kyle, bring in our next guest.
Yes, sir. We got the other Bond.
Wait. Oh, there he is.
Bam! The Permaculture!
Man, look at that. Oh, man. Brady Bunch up in here tonight.
How's it going, y'all? The people on my channel have got to be wondering, like, man, what the heck happened?
So many bad decisions are going to be made today, folks.
Awesome decisions.
You're talking about, like, that's not your, like, average opening? You don't open with that every time, William?
Not typically. In fact, I saved this little pimp chalice right here for special occasions. I got my coffee in it. I had to save it for you guys.
Folks, you will only find this at Midwest Preparedness Project, where preparedness is what we're all about and fun is how we get there.
Amen, brother.
Naked if possible.
Hey.
All right. Well, let's get started tonight, folks. We are going to have quite the show. We have several things planned for you tonight. But first, we want to give a shout out to one of our favorite sponsors. Let's give a shout out to Dubroll. You guys know him. The artist formerly known as Conflicted, the survival card game. Now him and Southern Prepper One work together to do Dubroll. And they have been sponsoring Midwest Preparedness since, oh God, at least 3 years now running. They're a great friend of the show. Go check out their cards. We may even have some of these gentlemen on again to play a live version of Dubroll at some point, asking them questions. So real quick, Billy, why don't you go ahead and get us started with your BCGs? Tell us who are, where you're from, as though anyone needs to know, and we'll get started.
Yeah, Michelle just handed me my BCGs. For those that don't know, Bobby, why don't you tell everybody what that means?
It means birth control glasses. It's what they give everybody in basic training so that you don't find other people attractive.
That's right. They didn't tell me that part. I mean, hey, bro, I just thought we were nut to butt because it was cold. I had no idea they were wearing them because they were worried about something else. But thanks, Bobby, thanks so much. Yeah, so I don't even know what the question was, but I'm just going to freestyle. I'm Billy, the permaculture pimp daddy from Permapastures Farm. Over there is my son. Up there, these are my friends. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we talk about permaculture, preparedness, practical living. But lately, I've been really, 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 ever since we got hit with that manufactured hurricane out here in Western North Carolina, I've been going, trying as best I can to go more into the preparedness side of things. And I've been reluctant to even talk about it as of late because we have so many people that are in the homestead space or used to be in the homestead space that all of a sudden they've decided as soon as they saw the algorithms favored those where if it bleeds, it leads, they started getting into that. So I sort of acquiesced. And, you know, after this thing happened, I'm like, okay, man, I've been at this a long, long time. I'm in a place where a lot of people, a lot of people have basically relocated here specifically because the environment would not lend itself to things like tornadoes or hurricanes. Well, being here just basically proved that it can happen anywhere. So I'm basically refocusing not only on preparedness, but also remediation because William, Michelle, my wife, and I better tell everybody I got a wife here because I don't have a shirt on. So put on your raincoats because I'm about to drizzle. We're all about doing everything preparedness, permaculture preparedness, and practical living, mostly preparedness as of late. But here it is. We're working on the bioremediation right now, and we started a nonprofit called Living Soil Foundation, and we're raising money basically to do what the government will not do. I'll leave it there for now. I know we'll circle back to some other things.
Perfect, Billy. Thank you for being here. We love you as always. You've always been a friend to us, and I appreciate you taking some time out at the beginning of the year to come to us topless for our viewing pleasure.
Well, hey, bro. Hey, if you guys could just excuse me for just a moment while you go over to William, I shan't be a moment. I got to run to the bathroom. Now, I'm going to slip out sideways here because I don't want to be responsible for none of you boys no longer believing all men are created equal.
Well, thank
there
you.
There he goes. Thank you. Say goodbye. William, I don't know how you're going to follow that up. I don't know what you think of your father right now, but tell us who you are, where you're from, and what you're doing here today.
William, why are you crying? It looks like
I'm not crying. I'm not crying. I'm dying laughing. Yeah, he might be my dad, but he still catches me off guard every once in a while. So that's my dad. I'm the permaculture consultant. I moved to Texas about a year ago. And the whole point of that channel is to, well, I do permaculture consultations for people. So I go to people's places and I give them a order of operations to follow. Because a lot of people are come into homesteading, especially after COVID, people come into homesteading from the tech industry and they have no experience with farming or agriculture or the fact that you can have closed loop systems and stuff. So that's what I try to focus on the permaculture consultant channel. Now, since that manufactured hurricane, I've been going back and forth to North Carolina to help with the disaster relief as much as possible. But I'm also building a demonstration site. So instead of going to people's locations, they can come to that demonstration site, stay there for an extended period of time, and then decide whether or not homesteading is a route they want to go. Because there are other roles to play in this alternative economy than having to grow all of your own food. So, yeah, these comments are wild. People were not expecting Dad to come in shirtless. He might be bottomless. We couldn't even see. He might just be buck naked in that house. Dad, you have pants on?
Oh, yes. Well, I'll leave that up to the audience to decide.
It's in your mind's eye. I keep hearing this.
I took him off camera while he stepped aside so nobody else would have to see that except me. So it's all good.
Ladies, just so y'all know, the curtains match the drapes.
All right, I have a question. I've heard both of you now use this term manufactured hurricane. Which one of you wants to jump on the grenade that is the YouTube algorithm and address what do you mean by a manufactured hurricane?
Take it away, son. He kind of went viral. I'm going to say he ought to do it because he kind of went viral just recently. A bunch of people cut a interview that he did on the Confessionals podcast. And son, I couldn't have been more proud of you, man. You were concise. You were to the point and you broke it down. So go ahead and lay it on him.
Thanks. So manufactured hurricane, like 100-year rain events are something that you take into account whenever you're designing a homestead. So what's the worst it could possibly get and what has been the worst in the past 100 years? Now that area of Appalachia has been very well, like recorded. People have been there for a very, very long time, especially after they came over from Europe and stuff. And people have been paying attention for a very, very long time. So the flood events, like the worst that they get every 100 years, has been well recorded for the past 400 or 500 years. This surpassed that in certain places. Like when you beat a 100-year rain event, you beat it by inches. You don't beat it by feet. And in some places, this flood surpassed the 100-year rain event by like 20 feet. In certain places. And if you look around, like people don't typically put their most valuable, especially back in the day, people don't typically put their most valuable farm building in the flood zone. So your tobacco barn, that's where you store all of your crops. That's where you dry your crops. That's where you put your animals in times of like bad weather events, stuff like that. You don't put that in an area that could flood every year or every 5 years or every 10 years, because it took a long time to build, especially back in the day. It took a long time to build. And that's where your preps were. That's where you stored extra food. That's where you dried your food. Again, that's where you put your animals in times of bad weather. A lot of those have been wiped out. It's like the amount of rain that falls over Niagara in the course of two years, fell in like a couple of hours there. That just doesn't happen. You don't beat 100-year rain events by feet. You beat them by inches. And especially in an area that's been well documented like that, it's just insane. So yeah, that's my, just without even looking at the work of Dane Wigington, that's my understanding, and that's the route I take to find that this has been a manufactured event.
Now, by manufacture, are you talking like chemtrails, HARP, that sort of thing?
I'll hit it from another angle.
That's where Dash should take it over.
Yeah, I'll hit it from another angle because, okay, so William basically said you don't beat this thing by inches. Some of these places, we beat it by over 30-some feet, and some places even 40 feet. So it's insanity, absolute insanity. So here's what happened. Well, here's what went down before. Okay, so we were told the hurricane was down in the Gulf. Now, I did find it curious that Weatherman Plus, all of a sudden, he's on there crying because he's like, apparently he knows that Western North Carolina is about to get absolutely devastated. Nobody could figure out why. Okay, so days before the hurricane, it's still in the Gulf. It hadn't even gotten here yet. And we are getting these rain events that made zero sense at all. And they were chemtrailing like nobody's business. People were sending me pictures from all around this place. And they were chemtrailing like you would not believe. Mm-hmm. Well, overlay it with the work of Dane Wigington from Geoengineering Watch, a friend of mine. And which, by the way, I'll have him on my show tomorrow night, and he's going to be talking about this latest thing. Anyway, Dane Wigington, he believes, and if you look at his 90-second video of the NextRad radar towers that were going at exactly the same time. This thing, whoever in their lives ever heard of a hurricane increasing in intensity as it moved along, but this one did, and somehow jumped over all that place from the Gulf all the way up to Western North Carolina and decided to dump all that stuff right here. And then all these weird weather anomalies. So it's believed that somehow in the chemtrails, there were, how do we say it? There were things that nobody knows. Nanobots, who even knows? I mean, I don't even care if anybody
knows. Something.
Yeah, there was something that was able to entwine when the hurricane actually got here. And they were using the NextRad radar towers to steer this thing, stop this thing, just like they did with Hurricane Harvey down in Houston years ago. Same exact thing, except it was far more devastating, at least in this area around here, because of our topography. Now, all this happened. Every bit of this happened. And, of course, we lived right through it. Now, where I am, right here at Billy's Jungle Palace of Love, 360 degrees all the way around here, everything is absolutely decimated, except where we are. And, I mean, the good Lord was looking after us. I mean, I'd say generally this town. But by and large, everything was absolutely decimated, and it still is. I mean, I was just out a couple of days ago. I try to leave as little as possible. Man, there are people still living in tents, old folks living in fifth wheels, and down by the river, worse yet, which you know it's going to be another 20 degrees cooler down there. Mm-hmm. And it's a real mess, man. It's an ongoing tragedy, and nobody in the United States of Amnesia seems to care. So we're trying as best we can to keep the light on this without making it a gratuitous vulgarity like so many other YouTube channels have done, where it's like, okay, there's one clown in particular, I won't even dignify him by saying his name, lives 3 hours away from here, but somehow is making, I live here, and you don't see me making video after video after video just to try to cash in on it. But I do have to a certain extent, keep the light on it without making it look like, as I said a moment ago, a gratuitous vulgarity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, let me ask, you know, when you're in school and you're taking a multiple choice test and there's 50 questions, what do they tell you often? That C is always the answer to pick when you don't know. So I'm going to ask a multiple choice question, William. Was the hurricane a way A, to get rid of red voters, B, to claim rare earth minerals, C, all of the above, or D, a satanic sacrifice?
The answer is C, all of the above. It is a satanic sacrifice. It is a land grab for the rare earth minerals. And I mean, I wouldn't. Okay, so A is the one spot where I would say 50-50, that they don't care if it was red or blue. They're killing everybody. Because the city of Asheville, a lot of these major cities in North Carolina are like sickening blue. Not just like you can't even have a conversation with some of these people. That type of blue. And a lot of those people were affected as well. Mm-hmm. The difference, though, is that the people that were red that got affected understand that this was largely manufactured. And the people that are blue that got affected are largely like, oh, this is why we should fight global climate change and stuff. So
you're saying that it even drove that narrative in separate directions, that depending on where you were or what your perspective was before this, it absolutely manufactured maybe the response in people's heads.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I would say that the only group of people that, like, the section of this group has completely forgotten is the red. There's a faction in the red group where as soon as the power came back on, as soon as everything became manageable again, they just pretended like nothing ever happened. Now, the reason I say a faction of the red is because the only population in that area that I've come across that actually agrees that this is, you know, manufactured is red. I couldn't find anybody in the blue that was saying that this was manufactured. But with the red, I would say it's split down the middle. Half believe it's manufactured, half have completely forgotten.
Well, with that being said, Billy, I know that when you were doing some of the work you were doing, I called you one day, I think at the beginning of December. I don't remember when you remember I called you that one day. We were talking about it, and you were kind of talking to me about, like, you know, radioactive components and all this stuff. And we were chatting after I heard that. I watched that YouTube with you and Bear Independent and Pat Militech and a few others. why don't you go into a little bit about the lies being told about the death toll and about the actual amount of devastation that this storm caused?
Yeah, here's the crazy thing is that I think the numbers are just under 200 officially. Anybody that lives around here that has any two great, anybody who is, I'll hold up my shirt. Anybody who is, well, awake but not woke can see through the lies. And frankly, it's just like, I couldn't say an amen more to what William just said regarding everybody on the, there were so many people, first of all, saying, oh my goodness, man, I'm never going to find myself in this position again. But just like William said, as soon as the power went on, all these people that are on the right side of the false left paradigm, they went right back into the matrix. I mean, right back into the matrix. And that's why I tell everybody, okay, well, all you people that are looking for land, don't worry. All these people that have gone country since Biden was in there are going to go back to the city as soon as Trump gets in. So don't worry. You're going to find some land you're looking for. Regarding the lies. Okay, there's been a couple of local NGOs that have come out there. It wasn't long afterwards. And they said, oh, yeah, the water is fine. Everything's in the river is fine. We're like, what? Dude, I'm driving down by the river. And you can smell whatever this chemical is. Now, I gotta preface what I'm about to say because there's not a high Hispanic population around here. Not ever. Okay. I've lived here. I don't even know how many years. But anyway, there's not a high Hispanic population. But all of a sudden, 2 weeks after this, man, I haven't seen this many Mexicans since the last Ricky Martin concert. And they got them all down by the river. And I'm like, okay. Oh, they don't care if these vatos die. They don't care if these guys, you know, because they're undocumented, you know? So I'm like, okay, this is weird. And so we keep on going. So I said, you know what, man, we need to get some soil tests. So Bear got some soil tests. We brought in Dr. Will Spencer to do scalar testing, which is more reliable than anything else out there. And then of course we paid for a test, brought in some environmental engineers, and that test alone cost us about $8,000. So anyway, knowing full well, I suspected that these tests were not going to come back well. So I said, okay, let's do a podcast. We'll all put it out there. Bro, you won't even believe. No, you guys will believe what happened. So basically proved beyond all doubt that Mountain True, which is the NGO I'm talking about, along with all the local papers who said everything was fine, we proved that everything they said was a lie from start to finish. Mm-mm-mm. Everything. Because all three test results, which were recorded weeks after they recorded theirs, showed that the levels, especially from Dr. Will and also from the test we paid for with the environmental engineers, proved that we even had nuclear waste around here. And then what had happened? I kid you not, and you guys won't be surprised, but maybe some of the audience will. They kill the messenger, or they tried to. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, oh, I am absolutely furious that the state would lie to me, they get pissed at me, and they're still coming after me. I had a lady come up to me and Michelle when we were working on our project out there during the remediation, and she says, she's trying to be nice and everything, and I get it. And she's like, well, these people have just been through so much. I wish you hadn't come out. You know what I mean? I said, hell no, I don't know what you mean. And that's exactly how I'm like, no, I don't know what you mean. I do not know what you mean. If I got kids down here playing by that river, I would be pissed if somebody didn't tell me if they knew that stuff was toxic and I got my kids playing in it. Mm-hmm. But these hoople-headed marchies around here couldn't care less. You want to get pissed at the guy who actually showed you that the government was lying to you. Surprise, surprise. But you got nothing to say to the people that actually did the lying. So sadly, I really think, man, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm just, why not?
Say it. You're in friendly territory here.
I'm going to say
six. Let it rip. Yeah.
Why not? Why not? Send my mail to the county jail. Look, y'all, I honestly believe that we have hit a point of willful stupidity and depravity that only starvation cures. And sadly, I think we are perilously close to finding that out because we got a population that could not care less. You want to go kill the messenger, but you don't want to go after the people that told you the lies. And then subsequently, people are saying, well, we need to see your test results. Well, I'm like, okay, here's what I'll do. And I'll just say that I don't want to go too long-winded, but I'll just leave this part here.
No, rock and roll.
We got them by the Kishkas. Check this out. I said, okay, anybody wanting to see my test results? You go to Mountain True and go get their test results and then come back to me and then we'll talk. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them actually did it. And here's what they revealed. The test results were worst. They apparently had some hoople-headed Marchie working in the office that actually sent their test results. And it showed that their results were worse than ours, even at the time that they were telling everybody everything was okay. So we still haven't dropped that manhole cover on their heads, but you know, there's always tomorrow.
Well, speaking of that, since we're digging in and we're digging in hard and we're not gonna give up on this one, William, I understand that there are some NGOs you want to put on blast.
Absolutely. The International Association of Christian Chaplains. They were out there in Elk Ridge. It was Elk Ridge. And I went over there. So I was at Home Depot picking up generators to bring to people. And this lady comes up to me and says, "Hey, are you taking those to Elk Ridge?" And I said, Elk Mills. And I said, "No, I haven't heard of Elk Mills." And she says, "Oh, well, they're just now getting like hot meals." And this is a month and a half or so after the disaster happened. And I was like, "Oh, wow." So I went back to the base camp and told them, like, "Hey, we need to go out to Elk Mills." This lady came up to me and said, "They're just now getting hot meals." So me and another guy go out there and we're going to recon the area and figure out like what we need to bring out, what they need and all that type of stuff. And the first thing I notice whenever I pull up there is this big FEMA trailer and this almost as big pull behind generator, and it's running. I'm like, "Oh, cool. They have power. Like, this generator is powering houses." Upon further inspection, I find out that generator is only keeping this lizard warm or cold, depending on what she feels like. But I walk into the trailer, introduce myself and say, "Hey, I'm with Grindstone Ministries. We can bring a team out here. Like, what needs to be done out here?" And she has this thick packet of information on every single person that lives in that holler. So all the recon is done at that point, like what each person needs, all that type of stuff, their capabilities, all that. So I'm thinking, okay, the recon is already done. So I go back to the base camp for Grindstone, and I tell the guy who's in charge at that time, like, "Hey, she already has all the recon done. They need, we're there to get access to people who don't have access, cut down Widowmakers, because we had a team of arborists, we had a bunch of equipment, stuff like that." So the next day, come out there with a convoy of vehicles, and it's only like an hour and a half away, but it takes about 3.5 hours to get there just because of the tight mountain roads. And then every truck has a trailer with a piece of equipment on it at that point. So we finally show up there, and then I go to the trailer and I talk to her. And from the get-go, I noticed that this lady had an ego. Her name's Tracy Elder. This is all public information. I'm not doxing her. So I go up there and start talking to her and say, "Hey, we got this team ready. Here's what we can do. It'd be nice if we could get that information now so we can get to work." And we had brought stuff to stay out there for a week. Like, we weren't going back to base. We were going to stay out there for a week and get stuff done. And she's like, "Okay, cool. First thing I needed to do is sign out these waivers." And immediately I'm like, "This is weird." Like, the hairs on the back of your neck stood up. And then I bring it out to the guys, and there's like 16 of us or so. And as soon as I say waiver, there's like 3 or 4 guys that are just shaking their head no. Like, "No, something's not right about that." And I'm like, "All right, I agree. Something's up with this waiver." And then we start reading it, and the last paragraph of that waiver basically says that you agree to follow every law, rule, mandate that is put out by the government forever. And you're supposed to follow like whatever the International Association of Christian Chaplains says to do forever. Exactly. How dare you? Mm. But so we saw that. And about that time, we all realized like, "Oh, this is a Faustian bargain." She comes popping out of her side by side. She's got a little chauffeur driver with her, even though it's like 50 feet away. She still hops in the side by side, has her little chauffeur bring her over. And starts clapping her hands like, "Where's my papers? Where's my waivers? I need my waivers." And I was like, at that point, I was like, "Well, we just decided that none of us are going to be signing these waivers." And from that point on, she couldn't talk about anything else other than getting those waivers signed and how we couldn't do any work in the area until those waivers were signed. Well, Grindstone Ministries has they're on the same level as like the Red Cross. They can go to war zones if they want to. Also, Grindstones Ministries has direct access from the governor of Tennessee to operate in that area. So she's saying, like, we can't do any work in there until she gets her waiver signed and all that stuff. And like, there's no amount of talking to her saying, hey, we are never going to sign these waivers. We're still going to help in this area. Just like, quit bothering us. Like, either help us or quit bothering us. She ends up calling the sheriff. The sheriff comes over. She talks to us. She's from New England. She loves us. And then she's like, let me go talk to this Tracy lady. And she goes talk to her. And then she just ends up walking out mid-conversation because this lady won't stop talking about the waivers. So the sheriff is now on our side, and she starts like introducing us to people in the community. Turns out that the state of that area was overly exaggerated about how bad it was. That lady also had a permanent concrete pad freshly poured by her trailer. So she intends on being there for a minute. So throughout the day, we're kind of meeting people. We're meeting the unofficial mayor. Turns out his wife was very unhappy about that Tracy Elder lady being there. She was like, yeah, we can't stand this lady. Like, she keeps running off help with these stupid waivers. We keep flattening their tires and siphoning off their fuel at night, and they still don't get the message. Like, we don't want them there. And we start meeting more places, and we figure out, like, the locals, without any kind of outside help, have largely taken care of themselves in that area. The power's not on, but if anybody needed a generator, that local unofficial mayor had already taken care of it. He had a general store up at the top of the mountain. But she, Tracy Elder, is exaggerating about how bad it is, so she can extend her stay and maintain her little fiefdom that she's got going on over there. But yeah, that's one of the fake NGOs that I encountered. It's an official organization. I shouldn't say fake, but they're not legit. They're not looking to help people because she keeps just running off volunteers with these stupid waiver.
Sounds a lot to me like the old government welfare. You know, when I was after 9/11, Billy can probably attest to this too. You know, we were both in the Army, and right after 9/11, every reservist and guardsman got called up to active duty. And after a year or two of being on active duty, you realized real quick that you were just wasting time, that it was just, you were over here in a motor pool, or you were over here riding around in a patrol car, but you really weren't essential. But then you could sit there and continuously put in for these extended, they're called Title 10 orders, where you could just be on active duty for a year at a time, a year at a time, a year at a time. And it was shocking to me how many people in the military who called themselves conservatives and that they wanted, you know, low cost government and lower taxes were all too quick to jump on that government welfare tit and get that year's worth of extended salary at the taxpayer's expense just so they could have their piece of the pie.
Golden parachute.
Yeah. Yeah. It never stops, man. It never stops. And this is why you should not trust the government, especially on today of all days. And you should understand that you're going to get lied to. You're going to get taken advantage of. And that's just the way it is. Billy,
well, Bobby, can I kind of piggyback on what you said there?
Go.
I mean, take for example, I mean, boy, if people don't really want to see this, I don't know what else to tell them, but you take all your contractors that were over there in the Middle East. I remember in 08, man, I couldn't find a job anywhere, but you know, if I wanted to go over there and put myself in harm's way, I could have went over there in 2008 working for Halliburton. And, So let's say back in the old days in the first Gulf War or anything since that time, you know, you have a flat on a Humvee. Well, you replace the tire. You got a problem anywhere else, you replace the part. Well, here's what they do now with Bush and Cheney, those polecats that were in there. And folks, by the way, I'm not left. I'm not right. It's not red state. It's not blue state. It's the state against you. So let me just cover that right off. Bottom line, what just happened?
Oh, I'm just showing off the flag. If you know what that flag is, I'm with you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I can barely
it's
see
not red it. Versus blue. It's the state versus you.
Bam. There's a rap song in there somewhere, bro. I mean, we got to do this. But yeah, instead of just replacing the vehicles, something that we've done all the way back to World War I, essentially, no, they decided they're going to make everything a cost plus basis, meaning that these contractors, these military contractors, get paid based on how much they spend. So instead of just replacing the tire on the Humvee, they'd blow up the whole freaking Humvee. So it's the same thing that happens in your municipalities. I'm a journeyman electrician, been doing industrial work for a long, long time. People always wondered, well, why is it, man, every time we go work on these powerhouse jobs, they give away a couple of vehicles because they get paid based on how much they spend. And it's the same thing with these disaster contractors, disaster capitalism that happens right here in regard to places like FEMA and the other contractors that work with them. I mean, when that hurricane hit Puerto Rico, I kid you not, I was offered $887 per day to go over to Puerto Rico and work as an electrician. I mean, by that time I'd been on the road for about 8 months, but I was offered $887 per day just to work on a FEMA job in Puerto Rico. So yeah, if anybody thinks that people aren't, yeah, why not? Imagine if you're in this secret cabal or whatever the case. Okay, Bobby, we're going to have you run that storm. Patrick, you know what? We're going to have you come in with some disaster capitalism. And since Billy and William are a little bit brown, we're going to have you working as the Mexicans alongside the river.
Compartmentalized racism is the best type of racism.
Yeah, I love it.
We all just joined the army.
It's totally appropriate that we're on the bottom of this screen right here. So,
man, if you ain't down with brown, oh, I mean,
okay, there.
Wait a minute. I'm not in my position at the top. What just happened here? My
I'm white, guys. They're just gonna put me behind a desk.
So. This is what happens, guys. This is what happens. Insurrection Day Live.
Only at Midwest Preparedness will you find this kind of quality with entertainment.
See, hey, I like how you did that switcheroo there. I mean, yeah, either way, bro. But I mean, the point is still solid. I mean, everybody's making out on this except we the people. So sadly, it's going to take more disasters for anybody to wake up. And as I always say, you better wake up and smell the corruption or you'll fall asleep drinking the hemlock. And right now they got it dosed. They're ready to give it to us, and nobody seems concerned about it.
Billy, speaking of dose, oh, my bad.
No, go ahead, Bob. You go first, William.
Just real quick, speaking of doses, the first thing that rolled up after this disaster, the only kind of help that was coming from the government, quote-unquote help, were vaccination tents everywhere. Vaccination tents, as soon as this happened, they weren't bringing out food, they weren't bringing out fuel, they weren't bringing out water. It was vaccination tents.
Well, why? You can't, think about that.
You can't have COVID in a hurricane zone.
Right. Yeah.
Because you can't be putting masks on people when they're quarantined in the hurricane zone. I mean, that's just mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Speaking to your point, Billy, you remember how it was back when we were doing the Kansas Prepper Expo way back in those days. And about the time President Obama was elected, everybody freaked out, at least everyone that, you know, looked like me, right? Everyone was freaking out. 2016 happens, and what happened to the prepper movement in this country? What, there wasn't even a homesteading movement yet. It was still just preppers, which was just survivalist version 2.0. But think about it, right? When Orange Man got elected the very first time, that whole prepper movement, it was like the whole rug got pulled out from under. All of a sudden, nobody was scared anymore. Nobody needed silver or bullets or corn or whatever. I mean, you remember that, right?
Oh, all too well. And that's why I've been telling everybody in my podcast that it's just a matter of time, because I get people writing to me all the time saying, well, how do I buy land on the cheap? How do I do this? And I'm like, just hold steady, because the same thing I've happened whenever there's a Democrat in office, as if there's a dime's worth of difference between either one. And I can't understand how anybody can't see it at this point. Whenever there's a Democrat in there, everybody's like full steam ahead. You'll see the guys come out, you know, they'll come out in their battle rattle the whole nine yards. And then as soon as a Republican gets in there, they acquiesce and then they sell their stuff. It happens every single time. And that's why I told my people, I was like, dude, just hold on a minute. Don't worry. You're going to be able to swoop up land with a butterfly net here before long, because every single one of these people always go back into the matrix every single time. And I don't see any change here.
This one's gonna be even more likely for that to happen, because when Orange Jesus gets in the spring, the moratorium disappears on all the foreclosures And there's going to be tons of land and real estate and stuff that's going to come up for sale for pennies on the dollar for anybody who's got money for tax lien auctions and anything else like that.
That's it. Listen to the man. He's dropping some knowledge.
Yeah, don't trust Orange Jesus, though. He ain't going to save all of us.
No, but if you're buying for pennies on the dollar, I will take those pennies and pre-1982 pennies and only pre-1982 pennies.
Yeah, hey. I'll take those, some of that junk silver that Bobby taught me about all those years ago. But I'll tell you what, if people aren't waking up already, I mean, just look, this is a script right out of Machiavelli. I swear that it is. And Machiavelli, I don't know the exact quote, but I need to memorize it, is that basically when you become a leader, all of the bad you're going to do, you do it up front, and all the good you intend to do, at least for the people, or at least that they perceive as being good, you sprinkle it out over time. Now, right before, the man ain't even in office yet. And what's already happened? I mean, the guy's done a 180 on the visas. And I'm like, okay, if you people haven't seen it yet, I mean, there's video after video after video of him saying, I'm not with this. I'm not totally, nope, not with it. And then all of a sudden, oh, I never said anything like that. I mean, you are being played, but everybody, look, you go ahead and eat, you drink that hemlock all you want. You go ahead and do that all you want. I'm not believing any of it, but so many people are just willing to fall right into the matrix. And I think this is, just like Kyle was saying a moment ago, I think this has the potential of being 10,000 times worse, not only because of the financial crisis, which I won't even get into right now, but not only because of that, but add to that all the other, I mean, you name it, what's going on in the Middle East. I mean, you know, supposed terrorists doing this or that and this. I mean, there is no lie the American public cannot be made to believe. I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe it.
Billy, I got two things for you real quick. So first and foremost, I want to get to this one later, but I want to ask it now. I'd like to know what you were doing living La Vida Loca at a Ricky Martin concert in North Carolina, first of all. But second of all, in the last three presidents, I'm just throwing it out there, in the last three presidents we had, there's only one that comes to mind that actually took a swing at any kind of gun control at all. And it wasn't the one we got now, and it wasn't, I mean, you tell me.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass on that first question. You know, I was in there for intel. You know, there's a reason why the CIA wanted me, man. I got one of those looks, man, where when I'm in Mexico, they come up speaking Spanish and then they hate me because I can't speak the language. And then when I was in the Middle East, they were speaking Arabic to me and then they hate me because I can't speak the language. So
that answer actually makes me feel a whole lot better. I was going to be really, really worried if you'd have went like this and like held up a bottle of Johnson & Johnson baby oil because you're shirtless right now. I'd have been like, oh, man, really?
I'm just
January 6th.
No, this is the Midwest Preparedness Project. We bring you the bare naked truth. So.
Billy, I just want to know what you meant by you people.
Oh.
Ross, bro.
I'm sorry, man. All you people look the same to me.
I can't tell if he's Norwegian or French.
Dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Bobby, my gosh.
Okay, there are two comments I want to get to. Laura Larson asked about pre-1982 pennies. Laura, all pennies from about midway through 1982 back and older are 95% copper, and they're worth about 2.5 cents in copper value. So that's why I will only accept pennies that are copper instead of the zinc copper or the zinc pennies that are copper plated. I want to also point out that Green County Agroforestry may have just become my best friend because they pointed out what King Samuel told to Israel about kings. And this is one of the biggest arguments that folks like me and the agorist and anarchist communities have against the government is that,
amen.
Sure, God allowed Israel to have a king, but he warned them with a laundry list in the book of Samuel this long about conscription and taxes and vineyards and daughters being hauled off to kitchens to cook for the king and the king's men and all of this other stuff. If you don't know about about that passage in the book of Samuel, you should really go look it out. And so I really appreciate the fact that that got brought up.
Order. That's the reason I don't participate in elections. is if you participate in elections, if you give them your vote and you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still giving permission and access to evil. That's why I don't participate in it.
Correct.
Well, think also, I mean, going back to what J.R.R. Tolkien once wrote, I mean, boy, I mean, if people saw his private writings, they would be absolutely blown away. I remember this one. He says, the most improper job of any man is bossing other men. Not one in a million is fit for it, and least of all those that seek the opportunity.
Amen. So,
what does that tell you about the people that seek this opportunity? Look, there's not a person in this chat that doesn't want to just live in peace and be left alone. But don't start no SH and there won't be no IT. I don't need anybody telling me how to live. I will not live as a slave. I will not be told how to live. And I don't know why so many people are just so willing and so cheaply willing to send their, you know, to just follow along with somebody saying, oh, hey, let's go ahead and send your kids overseas to go ahead and die for these people or go murder these other people. Yep. You know, there was a time where I believed all that crap, but you know what? I'm longer in the tooth than I was when I ever believed that stuff. But yep. I mean, could you get a longer list of reasons why you should not trust anything they tell you? But once again, they'll kill the messenger instead of going after these people that really need to be gone after.
For sure. For sure.
100% agree. By the way, I want to give a shout out. Local Prepper, one of our other favorite YouTubers, is here. And he said that we're all in trouble because YouTube unsubscribed him from Midwest Preparedness Project. So let's go ahead and take this opportunity to say, if you enjoy the absolute tomfoolery, chicanery, and otherwise idiocy that you're watching tonight, please make sure you like, subscribe the channel, hit the notification bell, all of that. We're not going to overly inundate you with that kind of stuff. But, you know, the fact that Local Prepper, who's actually a friend of the Midwest Preparedness, was unsubscribed from us should tell you that they don't want stuff like what we're doing to be seen in public.
Yep. They do not want our superpowers combining to form Voltron. It's just a fact.
All right, folks, let's move on. We've covered this in ad nauseum, and I think that it is absolutely appropriate for what today is and what many of us remember today is. We're going to go into a new session. Those of you who watched our Joe Salatin live absolutely saw this, and you know what's coming. We're going to do rapid questions, and we're going to start with Billy. And then we're going to go to William. We have some questions prepared. These questions are designed to get quick answers, not something you bloviate about too long. This first thing you're going to say, and there might be some fun questions mixed into the mix. So, Billy, first question, AR-15 or AK-47?
AK.
Oh, he's an AK man. Okay, Next question. What is the absolute worst habit you see new or aspiring homesteaders getting into?
Too many animals too quickly.
Okay. And what is both the best and the worst thing to come out of the organic food movement?
The best thing to come out of the organic food movement is people at least being more aware. The worst thing about it is, once again, too many animals. Even though you buy organic food, if you destroy the land that they're on, you're not doing any good. Sorry. Should have been rapid fire, but I didn't have anything concise.
No, that's
all good. I was going to say turds, I like your answer better.
All right, Billy, and finally, my final question for you. What is your favorite B vitamin?
B vitamin?
Yeah, out of all the B vitamins, which one's your favorite?
You got B1, B2, B12. You got all the Bs.
Or B kind.
Oh, I had a funny thing I can't even say on here, but anyway.
What was you going to say? Be Jewish?
Oh, Dave Chappelle's got stuff to say there.
Come on, Billy.
I'm going to say B12.
All right. Very cool. We actually stumped Billy with the trick question. All right, William, your turn.
All right.
What is the biggest gimmick product you see on the market targeted to homesteaders?
Compost in a bag or potting soil in a bag.
Okay. Number two, what is the number one thing that leads to soil toxicity that the average homesteader can avoid?
Tilling or leaving animals in one location too long.
Okay. What is your favorite brand of work boots?
Ooh, Danner.
Okay. All right. And finally, Who wins in a cage fight between Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Elon Musk just because he's got the weight advantage. I don't know. They're both a bunch of limp-wristed cucks, so I'm going to go with Elon Musk.
Wow.
All right. Well, there you have it. Real answers from real people who do it for real in the world. Patrick, do you have anything you want to throw in towards the last end of this live broadcast?
I love the fact that your money is on Elon versus our boy there. So that's cool. I'm kind of right there with you. Although I have been seeing him take some jiu-jitsu classes. He put some dudes in some wrist locks that look legit. I'm just saying. But yeah, real quickly. So to segue in, yes, that kind of wrist lock. how you doing? So Billy, going into 2025, this being a new year, you know, a new opportunity for you, new opportunity for Permapastures Farm. What is your purpose this year in 2025? What is your passion?
Well, this hurricane basically threw everything on its head. Where I was going is now the entirely different direction. So now we're going to be focused more on bioremediation, meaning that we're going to use what the good Lord put on this planet to clean up all this mess that's out here. It's going to require a lot of money. It's going to require a lot of time. And frankly, it's not the area in which, you know, I am perfectly content. William can tell you the most joyful time of every day is going out here, moving these animals around, improving the soil, feeding ourselves, doing all these things. And now I'm going to have to acquiesce from all of that because I've got to be the one, because I have to be the one around here to see to it that we start putting in things that will remediate this soil to keep these old boys on their land that the mining companies are trying to throw them off. So now it seems like I'm sorry, I can't think of a concise way of answering this, but now my whole focus, I think, for 2025 and Michelle's too, is working primarily remediating soil. It's not where I wanted to go. It's not where I thought I'd be, but I don't know what else I can do because, look, William comes out here from time to time and he's got my grandbaby with him. And I have got to have a clean environment. Look, I'm a farmer. That means I'm going to need an earth. And I need a clean one, preferably. We have the means to do this. We have just got to mobilize and get out here and do it. And frankly, it just feels insurmountable. So I could use everybody's prayers because there are powerful interests out there that don't want to see this happen.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you keep the government out of it?
I'm sorry, Kyle?
How do you keep the government out of it? Part of it.
Yeah, part of it is we've already had some sleazy things going already where we've had people come in and try to bribe me with money. I mean, as if that's even possible, because if you know who I am, you know that's not a possibility. I mean, there's nothing you're going to offer me in exchange for this environment. But as far as the government, the way I'm getting around that, Kyle, is working on an individual by individual basis right now. And because if I'm on private property, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
But there's also, and you guys know about this, it's called the tragedy of the commons. So if we got a river that's polluted and I'm downstream of that, well, how do we adjudicate that? Well, guess what? I'm already working on things right now to where I'm going to do it, and I ain't asking nobody for permission. We're going to get it done. We're going to do it. And if somebody's got a problem with it, they're just going to have to catch me because I do not obey unjust laws, bottom line.
Amen.
So we're going to go ahead and we're going to get it done. In those common areas where I see kids out there playing, there's no way to keep these kids away from this river. Kids are going to be kids. They're going to do what they got to do. I have ways, and I'm working on them right now to get this thing done. It's going to cost me. It's already costing the foundation a lot of money to get this done, but I'm doing it, and consequences be damned.
My man, that's power right there. A lot of people pulling for you, Billy. So there's a lot of people in the comments sending you prayers all the way from the UK down to, you know, the panhandle of Florida. People got your back and people are listening to you. So do them right. Their eyes are on you. Well, I might ask the same of you, you know, in light of what you did last year, where you've been, what you've been through in 2025 with a renewed sense of purpose. What are you driving at this year? What is your passion?
So help mom and dad in any way I can, as far as getting that soil remediated down there. But also, my goal before that disaster happened was to educate as many people as possible on how to grow their own food. And I still think that's my purpose, is still try to because that disaster affected that one area, but there's a disaster coming that's going to affect the entire world. And anybody who can grow their own food before then is going to be an ally. So getting as many people comfortable with growing their own food and closed loop systems as possible, that's my goal. Educate as many people as possible.
Yeah, you guys,
your mother and father, long shall be the days of your life.
Absolutely. And you guys got the before and the after picture. Like you're handling the soil remediation and you're handling the long-term food production and what to do with the land after you repair it. So
yeah,
huge props to both of you. Thank you.
Well, and there's a legacy being built for a father and a son and a grandchild, and then those children that come after that. And that's really what we're here for. It's not about us, but that's a beautiful answer.
I couldn't agree more, but you know, it always blew my mind when nobody cared about a particular thing until it affects their family. You know what? Sure. I'm not directly affected by this, but I don't know how anybody with any kind of heart can go down here knowing what I know about these test results. And then I'm seeing little children out here playing. They got nowhere else to go. Some of these folks, I mean, they hack it out of the wilderness just to live here because the cost of living here is so high.
Oh, yeah.
And people in some of these communities alongside the river, they bought this land because it was the only land available to people with very, very limited means. And so where are you going to go? I mean, what do? Keep the kids sequestered? You got nowhere to go. Nobody's helping you out because they got to send all that money over to Israel to go, you know, and Ukraine. Don't have any money for these people, but we got to send that money over there.
Yep.
When I drive by, that's why I'm saying I don't know. I don't feel as if from a duty standpoint that I have a choice to stay on the sidelines and just do what I've been doing, which like William said, I mean, growing food and showing people how to do that has been my total wheelhouse. Well, I don't know how I can stand by and watch these children get who even knows what disease is going to come down the pike as a result of playing in this stuff. If I have a means to go out here and do it on a wide scale, I would feel, and then there's a lot of other people out here doing other remediation projects. Problem is, I'm not woke enough, so they won't have me. And plus, they don't know what William and I know. They don't know how to look under a microscope. I'm dead serious. They don't know what to look for in this soil. They don't even have any, but everybody's out there thinking, oh, let's pat ourselves on the back because we went out this weekend and we put in a bunch of stuff that ain't going to make it anyway. Well, this is totally in our wheelhouse, and it's like everything the good Lord has set my feet upon all up until this point has been designed and led me to this point. So,
amen.
We're going to fix this thing up and we're going to do it, notwithstanding some of the next calamity. I don't know what that is, but look, it's not going to be because I acquiesced. It's not going to be because I stood back. It's not going to be because William did either. I mean, William's raised tons of money to go out here and help these people, and he lives in freaking Texas. And there's a lot of other people in this chat right now that have given when you didn't have it to give. Yeah. So many people are struggling just to put bread on the table right now. But you gave everything you had. I mean, some of these letters I've read from these folks will just floor you, man, where these folks are just barely making it themselves, but they threw in the $3 they could spare. I mean, it's just something about that indomitable human spirit that refuses to submit. And, man, I just wish I could be surrounded by all of those people all the time. But right now I got a bunch of hoople-headed marchies.
Well, you're fighting a good fight. You're fighting the good fight, Billy, and we thank you for that. Those of you who came to the Fall Festival last year know that Billy came out and spoke and did a presentation, so make sure that you go and support him as he supports us. William, I understand that there's something that might be going on this spring at the Spring Festival. You want to tell folks where you're going to be between May 6th and May 10th this year?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the Midwest Preparedness Project, which is actually going to be the first time coming back to Kansas since we moved to Texas. So this is where I like grew up, where I went to school and everything like that. And I'll be able to show the wife and baby. But yeah, I grew up in Tonganoxie, Kansas, not far from Lawrence, Kansas. So yeah, I'm excited to be back, excited to see how the liberals destroyed that place and Yeah, go to Clinton Lake and camp out.
There you go, man. Look at it. Midwest Preparedness Festival is the one organization that can get the bombs back to Kansas. We had Billy last September. We're going to have William this coming May. So be sure to go to www.midwestpreparednessproject.com. Keep up with us. Find us on all the social media, MeWe, Facebook, Discord, all of those things, and you'll find out more information coming. William will be speaking at the Spring Festival, keeping in the tradition of his father. And his father's been a huge supporter and fan and friend of ours for years. He was friends of ours back when we were still Kansas Prepper Expo and Full Spectrum Preparedness. Billy's been involved with Kansas homesteading and preparedness long before it was even called that. So, William, you're coming, you know, and you're going to be staking your claim, and people are going to get to meet and see you, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, me too, man. Can't wait to be there.
Yeah, we're in Kansas. It's going to be at Clinton Lake, Bloomington West Campground. It's going to be May 5th through the 11th, just in between Kansas City and Topeka on I-70. That's where it's going to be, Greene County. We'll hopefully see you there. It's a free-to-attend event. We do not charge people admission to come to this. We don't charge for the classes. The only way that we make money is folks like Billy sponsor us. He sends us some comfrey once in a while. He'll send us some bone sauce, some books. And then we have a giveaway each day on Friday and Saturday. We sell tickets, opportunity tickets too. And that's how we raise money to put on these festivals, because we're not like a lot of the other ones that are a lot more consumer driven. So come out, come see William and meet his wife, meet his kid. I'll get to meet his wife and kid for the first time. I haven't actually seen William since, I think, Self-Reliance Festival or Kentucky Sustainable Living. I'm not sure which one I saw. I think it was Kentucky Sustainable Living, actually, that I saw you
at. Yeah, yeah.
But Patrick, do you have anything you want to close us out with?
Yeah, real quick. So is there a favorite charity or a charity that you'd like to support right now, Billy?
Yeah, there's this one that started up a while ago. It's called Living Soil Foundation.
can we drop that in the chat right real quick? Kyle, can you drop that in the chat for everybody? Living Soil Foundation?
Living Soil Foundation. I mean, that's if you want to, and that's at GiveSendGo. Amy, a moment ago, just mentioned. I didn't want to go on anybody else's podcast, but thank you for asking so much. And we need to have you boys on over on mine so we can promote your event, because honestly, it is a, folks, I'm telling you, it is a fantastic. I woke up one morning, the one day, Patrick comes out here and he's got a plate full of food, man. It looked like Gordon Ramsay put it together. And I'm like, dude, how did you cook an entire plate full of grub like that, folks? I'm telling you what, it blew my mind. I mean, he had everything. He had an entire ecosystem on that plate. And it was free. I mean, the guy that was doing it was like doing it for free, I guess.
Oh, yeah, that was Sean from Crunchy Mama Farms.
No, he's talking about Terry. Terry Romig was making breakfast for everybody.
Oh, Terry Romig was out there, too, making breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Billy, my Google skills are not all that great at the moment. Do you have that URL by chance so I can pull it up for the fine folks?
Bro, I don't even know what a URL is, man. Yeah,
the website, my man.
Living Soil Foundation. Just Google it. Living
Our website's being worked on right now. You got to go to GiveSendGo. Sorry about that. So that's why you can't find it. See, see, Kyle, you should have spoke English and said website, like anybody knows what a URL is.
Oh, sorry.
There you go.
Everybody does that.
Kyle does man in the chair speak, Billy. Come on, man.
Yeah, my bad. We'll get that URL and we'll put it in the description for later consumption.
Yep.
And
of course, we'll make sure it's out there. What about you, William?
I'll comment it right now. It's in the. I just sent it as a comment right now. The URL for their GiveSendGo. You're welcome, old man.
Thank you, sir.
There it is. Thank you,
why do they call it a URL when it's a HTTPS? I'm looking right at it.
I don't know.
Same thing, Billy. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
URL sounds like a venereal disease.
Just get in the soup line and enjoy your government handout, Billy, and say thank you to NASA.
Thank you very much. That's how I roll.
Thank you, NASA.
All right, real quick. I think after reading through the comments, it seems very, very obvious where most people here are at. Kyle, why don't you say a word of blessing over Billy and William as they continue to do their warrior fight for the people of Tennessee and North Carolina and even in the greater area?
It would be my honor. I'll do that now. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for Billy and for William and for their families and for the immediate circle that that is around them. Thank you for just the skills and the expertise and the things that you have given, the opportunities that you've put in front of them over the years to build these talents that they have, Lord. I pray that they would continue to use these talents for your good, for restoration of the land. I pray that there would be no interference, no successful interference from the enemy, from the devil or from man influenced by the devil. I pray that you would go before them, Lord. Let them be successful in whatever you set their foot to. God, we are here. We choose to seek you. Your word says that where two or more are gathered in your name, that you're with us. We stand on that promise. We ask for your blessing and your protection for each of them and their families and everyone that they touch, every life, every blade of grass that they touch, every soul they come in contact with. Lord, let your word be multiplied in the hearts and minds of others. Thank you, Father, for everything. And it's always in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. All right. And on that, I guess we can roll out. But real quick, I just wanted to leave you guys with this. Last time we ran into Billy and William Angloos, the last time we ran into each other, Billy, you said something to me at the festival, at the campout. We're sitting around the fire, and I'll never forget this. This stuck with me, and it's burned into my head ever since. And Billy said this. Whether we shall meet again, I know not. If we do meet again, why, we shall smile. And if not, then this parting was well made. Amen. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, Shakespeare, brother, because I bit that one right off of him.
Hey, you know what? Me too. Hashtag down me too.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to our Topless Insurrection Day Live. Be sure to go to MidwestPreparedNessProject.com. Find us on Facebook. Find us on MeWe. Find us on Discord, Freesteading, all of the different social medias. Be sure to come to the Spring Festival where you'll get to actually meet William in person, as well as Joe Salatin and some other fantastic folks who are going to talk to you about the way the world is. And until then, folks, thanks for tuning in. You have a great night.
Take care and God bless.
Night all.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.